Sometimes when I'm out and about running errands or whatever, I am suddenly struck by the realization that there are a lot of crazy and crummy jobs in the world. We took our kids to the circus when they were little, and what do I remember most? The poor guy whose job it was to follow behind the elephants. Yes, the emphasis here is on follow behind. With a shovel and a huge dustpan that it was obvious wasn't being used for collecting dust. Now imagine that guy going home at the end of the long day and saying, his wife greeting him at the door, "Hi honey, how was your day?" And how are you going to answer that? I can hardly stand to use an outhouse, but how would you like to be the person who has to clean up those Johnny on the jobs after a concert or fair is over? And though there are times when I think it would be nice to have a job with set hours that I could leave at the end of the day and not think about, I can't imagine spending my life working on an assembly line in a factory, doing the same thing over and over and a million times over again. And I really admire the people who have the patience to do that. Well, apparently I'm not the only weirdo out there who thinks about all the bizarre jobs there are in the world, because the Discovery Channel now has a new TV show called Dirty Jobs, and it highlights all kinds of crazy professions. I looked some of them up. Skull cleaner for museums, bat cave scavenger, and insect breeder, and those are just a few of the jobs. There's so many I wouldn't even mention here in church. There are people doing jobs that we never even think about, but which make our lives a lot easier because someone else is out there doing the dirty work. If you think about it, there are a lot more disgusting jobs in the world than there are glamorous ones. And even some of the seemingly glamorous ones aren't all that they're cracked up to be all the time. Many of you know that I am an author, mostly of books for children, and I love to write. It's one of the most fulfilling things that I do, thinking about children and adults who are out there somewhere in the world reading one of my books and having a wonderful moment together. And so I just want to share with you a little glimpse into the life of joy of being an author. Received an email out of the blue recently, and this is what it said. Dear Kathleen Long Bostrom, I'm rewriting in regards to your book, What is Prayer?, which my girls checked out from the church library this past Sunday. I read your book to four of my girls today, and I didn't realize the impact it would have, and not in a good way. I have twin three-year-olds who got into great trouble today after seeing your book. One cut the other's hair almost completely, just as in the book on page 39. Her scalp is showing in many places. Now I have a young girl who cried herself to sleep because now she looks like a boy. And this anonymous fan went on and on for a whole page writing about the bad influence of my book, how the illustration in the book that shows a little girl cutting the hair off of her doll had led her innocent child to do this evil thing, and that I should be more careful about the pictures I put in my books. And, you know, I don't have anything to do with the pictures that go into my books. But ouch, that feedback really hurt. Even feedback that's totally irrational and really not worth a response. But I take these things personally. I feel now responsible for the misbehavior of this little three-year-old girl who has destroyed the life of her twin sister. But basically, I'm ashamed to admit how much I depend on positive feedback to let me know that I've done a good job with something. Whether it is a book or a sermon or my makeup or the meal I've fixed. And I think it's a trap we all run the risk of falling into, basing our worth on what we do and even more on how others value or don't value our work. That's why we're asking the question today, who do you work for? If I asked each of you to give an answer to that question, the responses would be as varied as the number of people here in the sanctuary. I work for Baxter, you'd say, or I work for Sears, or I work for Abbott, or the post office, or the high school. I own my own business, I work for myself, or I work for my family. There are so many answers to the question. Whether we work for a salary, or work in our homes, or even are out there volunteering our time, we work for someone or some place. That's the way the world functions. There aren't too many people who are totally self-sufficient in and of themselves that don't depend on the work of somebody else. But the question, who do you work for, has other, more complicated connotations. Do we work simply to support our individual family, our personal lifestyle, to fulfill our ambitions and our goals? Rabbi Harold Kushner, in a book he wrote, Overcoming Life's Disappointments, believes that there is a deeper value to the work that we do than merely supporting ourselves, our families, and satisfying our own needs. Kushner writes, "The wife and mother needs to remember that when she works so hard to make her home an inviting place and to put nourishing meals on the table, she's not doing it for herself or for her husband and children. She is doing it for that entity we call the family, because sustaining a family is what gives meaning to her life and what sustains the life of her husband and children as well. The man who feels unappreciated at work needs to remind himself that he is not only working for his supervisor, for his employer, or even for his paycheck, indispensable as that may be. He is working to maintain his own sense of integrity as a person who does what is right, who gives a full day's effort every day he shows up for work. It is vital, Kushner maintains, for us to give our work our best effort, whatever that work may be, because ultimately it is that striving for integrity that matters more than the job that we do. You know, that even goes for the guy at the circus who follows the elephants with his dustpan and shovel. Do your best job and do it well. Do it because you care about how you do what you do even more than you care about what it is that you do. Early on in the ministry of Jesus, he was faced with a challenge of people more interested in being part of the what of his ministry rather than the how. After seeing him feed that hillside of 5,000 people with next to nothing, and then in the middle of the night striding off across the surface of the lake without even a life jacket, lots of folks were curious. They wanted in on all the action. They wanted to know how they could be part of all this miracle making and magical maneuvering. And so they went to Jesus and asked him about it. And Jesus said, "Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life." And all God's people said, "Huh?" Well, Jesus said, "You want to work for God? Well, this is the work of God, that you believe in me, that you believe in the one whom God has sent into the world. That is the work you are called to do. Believe in me," Jesus said, "and follow me. It's the most important work of your life." The answer to the question, who do you work for, becomes the same answer for all of us. We work for God. It's what you'd expect the preacher to say, right? But whether we preach sermons or clean drain pipes or fall behind elephants at the circus, we work for God. We work to help maintain the world that God has given to us. If we are followers of Jesus, then that is what gives us our identity and our self-worth. Following Jesus is the main work that we are called to do, no matter how it is we make a living. But it's easy to identify ourselves predominantly by what we do with our work. I am a mother. I am an electrician. I am a teacher. I am a carpenter. I am a nurse. I am a whatever it is that you do. That's how we introduce ourselves. But if our identity is centered just around what it is we do, what happens when we can no longer do that kind of work, when our situation in life changes, when our children no longer need us as they once did, when illness forces us into early retirement, when a job we thought was secure falls out from underneath us, then we are lost and feel aimless and even begin to question who we really are. But who we really are, Jesus says, is a child of God. With that at the core of our sense of self, everything else we do has a higher purpose. Who do you work for? God. We all have the same boss, if you want to get right down to it. And we are all working for something larger than our own small piece of the pie. We are all working for the kingdom of God. I have to admit that it took me a while to let go of the negative comments from the woman who wrote to me about the ill effects that my book had on her children. I wanted to write back, first of all, to apologize for writing such a book, for apologizing for my very existence, for the way I've ruined her lives. And then I thought about it, and I wanted to write to her and give her my opinion about a few things, which weren't very nice opinions at all. But my family stopped me from making a fool of myself, and I didn't write her back. But I had to let down all these defenses that she had put into place. I forgot all the people who maybe enjoy the books. That one negative comment was enough to make me doubt myself. And then I had to remember, I don't write books for children just for the glory of it. I write books because I think God has given me a gift to do this. And I'm going to continue to write books for children, even if I get some far-fetched feedback every now and then. It's not just that one person I have to worry about pleasing. It's really God. And if I truly believe that, I'm not going to let one negative email stop me. Well, after I'd calmed down a little bit, about a week after that disturbing email, I received another one, and this time from a woman who had sent a copy of another of my books, What About Heaven? She'd sent it to a family whose little boy had just been put on life support because he suffers a terminal illness. And the mother of that little child wrote to my friend who forwarded the letter to me. The mother said, "I wanted to take a minute to not only thank you for your prayers, but also for the wonderful book Shelton received last week. He loves books, and I found it comforting, although tearful, to share this one with him. No matter what happens, it will be the book I hang on to." Well, you know that earlier in my email? Not so important anymore. You know, it never should have been. Who do you work for? God. That's who you work for. And don't ever forget it. I won't let you forget it if you promise not to let me forget it too. Follow Christ, first of all. Do the best you can with what other gifts God has given to you, and you will be a person of integrity. Believe that God will bless your work no matter what it is you do. Even if your job is to follow behind the elephant at the circus, do it with your head held high. Carry your dustpan and your shovel with pride, because the work you do is important. if only to the clown walking behind you. Let the favor of the Lord God be upon each of us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. Oh, prosper the work of our hands and our feet and our mouths and our hearts. Pray with me. Lord, there are a lot of difficult jobs out there. There's a lot of dirty work to do, and someone has to do it. And we give thanks for those people who have difficult, horrendous, dirty, nasty jobs, who do things to make our lives a little easier. Lord, there are many who go unappreciated in their work, but we know that you appreciate all who give of their time and integrity to do the thing that is right. We know there are places where the workplace itself is unethical, and we pray for those who are willing to stand up and do the right thing. We pray for all who struggle and seek to find employment or work or vocation. Guide them, O Lord, and give them worth in being just who they are, a child of yours. For that is the job and the work that you have called us to do, to be your children. Bless us as we work with all our heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, and let all God's people say, Amen.